Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Welcome, friends, to the GC Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and with me is my man, podcast buddy, Joe Brannan. Joe is the lead pastor at Crosswalk Community Church, which will soon be replanted into a new neighborhood with a new name, GC Surrey Hills. For today's pod, I'll be interviewing Nicole Payne, who is an exceptional minister of children, and she will be providing practical insights on children's ministry. Now, Joe, you're father of three amazing kids, and make sure you tell them I said that. I imagine ministry to children is pretty high on your list. Will you tell us about its importance in your life?
Oh, absolutely, Anthony. And I do have three amazing kids. And we want our kids to feel as if they matter when at church, as far as me and my wife. And I know a lot of other people feel the same way. As adults, we can search and find our place in a church. Our kids don't have that same ability. So we, as parents and as the church, need to be intentional in creating a place where kids feel like they matter. And just a really brief story, when we moved to Dallas, we were kind of church shopping a little bit. And we went to multiple places. We went to a mega church that had all kinds of bells and whistles. We went to a place that was a bunch of young families that looked just like us. And we went to a GCI church that was about to go through a major revitalization. Out of those three places, the place that our kids wanted to go back to was that GCI church that was starting to go through a revitalization process. So they didn't have all the stuff lined up. They didn't have everything. They didn't have all the bells and whistles like the mega church. They had a lot of older people, so there wasn't a bunch of young families. But the fact that our kids wanted to go back to that congregation, that's when we knew, hey, this is the place for our family. So that, to me, that needs to be a number one ministry in churches.
Well, that's such a powerful testimony and encouragement to, say, somebody like me who's a lead pastor of a small GCI congregation with just a few kids, that we can actually be a place that is welcoming and where children are clearly communicated with that they matter, not only to us, but to the God who created them. So what would you say, Joe, to a pastor of one of our GCI churches that doesn't currently have a children's ministry? What would be your advisement to them?
I think that the thing that I would have to say, Anthony, and it's such a great question because we're all asking ourselves questions like this, but I think it's important that we stop working from a scarcity mentality. The challenging question that I would have to ask is, why do you not have a ministry? Do you not have kids? Well, get with your team. Start praying on God would provide the opportunity to bring kids along. Pray where you can still make an impact and have a plan to receive those kids. And then another question is, do you have kids but no ministry? Well, maybe we need to take a look in the mirror as a pastor. Why is it that we don't have a ministry when we already have kids? And start asking tough questions to ourselves. Are we equipping people? Are we empowering people? Are we encouraging people? What is missing? Pastors, it starts with us.
That's a challenging word, my brother. Bringing it. And you know what I find about you, Joe? You have a lot of good things to say for someone from Oklahoma. I mean, it does surprise me a little bit, but you've got some insights, bro. So with that being said, let's now listen to my interview about children's ministry with Nicole Payne.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of GC Podcast, a podcast dedicated to exploring practical ministry expressions in the context of Grace Communion International and its churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and I have the privilege today of interviewing Nicole Payne. She's not a pain. She's a delight to work with, and she is the director of development at Kingsgate Christian School in Yukon, Oklahoma. And she was just recently commissioned as the Hope Venue Champion in Grace Communion Surrey Hills. How are you today, champ?
I am excited to be here with you.
Well, we're excited to have you, and today we're going to be talking about children's ministry, and I'm really hoping, Nicole, you know something about this, or else why are we doing this? But I know you do know something about children's ministry because it's very personal and practical to you. Why don't you give us a little bit of your story, why children matter, and what are you celebrating at this point and juncture of your life?
Sure. So how I got involved in the ministry to children, I always joke about that the ministry kind of found me. I wasn't really looking to get involved in serving in children's ministry so much as I was just looking for a place to get connected in my local church. And after it, a short stint as the worship minister, and those of you that have ever heard me sing will know why that was such a not a good fit for me, really. So after that, I was just kind of looking for a place to get connected and start serving. And I kind of looked around and took stock of, you know, well, I have four kids. I mean, I guess that's not a huge leap to think that maybe I could do something with kids. So, yeah, that's kind of how it all got started.
Mm. And, you know, you talk about your four kids, and that's a children's ministry right there, right?
It is.
Yeah. So what is it you're celebrating at this season of your life, Nicole?
Like you talked about, so this past weekend, my husband Matt and I were commissioned to be the Hope Venue champions in our local congregation at GC Surrey Hills. And that was just so exciting, especially for me personally, just knowing my story. And you know, I was the shy kid that didn't feel like my voice mattered. And now to think that God could use me in such a way that other people, I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Mm. And you talked about not knowing if your voice really mattered, Nicole. And I would think that in children's ministry, that's one of the primary things you're wanting to inform these children of God, that their voices do matter. They matter to the one who created them and made them in his image. So how do you communicate that to a kid?
Well, for me, that is being present. I discovered early on that I had a person in my life, my grandmother, and she taught you know, children's lessons at the church that I grew up in. And she was always including me in spiritual discussions and just wanted to hear my thoughts and what my experiences and, you know, the things that she would ask me about faith and God. At first, I thought she was just like being the teacher and like after hours quizzing me. But I came to find out that just her presence and making me feel valued, it did something for me. And so now I get to share that with other children. It's really special.
You know, my background, Nicole, in ministry is more inclined toward teenagers, and I've not worked with children, and I think that's by God's good grace because I wouldn't know what to do. But one of the things I was always struck by when we'd have interactive sessions is the questions that would get asked. I mean, just unexpected, shocking sometimes, and it really helped me as a facilitator. I can only imagine you've been asked some questions that just were deep in some cases and surprising. Any stories you can tell?
Yeah. So one of my favorite stories is early on into this endeavor with ministering to children. I I didn't have the insight to like ages and stages developmentally. And so for a child, like a preschooler, and they're in that concrete stage of development, it really challenged me to start reframing words that we use, like church lingo. And so I remember during a prayer time, I had said something to the effect of, you know, Jesus and being in our hearts. And this little boy stopped the prayer and he's like, Miss Nicole, he's like, how can Jesus fit in there? I don't want him in my heart. That would hurt.
That's a practical question. What did you say?
Oh, I just had to laugh and just admit, you know, how silly Miss Nicole is, because we do use words that for a concrete thinker, that was a hard leap to make.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So as we think about the practical implications of children's ministry, and I know you're passionate about this.
I am.
But one of the things we know about passion, not everybody shares the passion the same way we do. So what are practical steps a church can take, and maybe you talk about steps your church is taking, to communicate the vital importance of children's ministry? What does that look like?
So in our context, it looks like going through and totally deconstructing and looking at the way we minister to children. And we're just going through and we're seeing, does this still fit? For instance, if we're doing using like a 90s model of children's ministry, it might not fit the modern, you know, attention span of a child that age. If there's copious amounts of sitting, then we might be feeling the effects of it in our ministry. So really just going through, you know, reevaluating, why are we doing this in this way? Does this communicate value to our children? And just trying to come up with innovative ways to nurture faith in the children who come to our church.
So let's talk about the deconstruction. If you don't mind getting, you know, quite practical here, did you have to change anything you were doing at GC Surrey Hills to adopt a more child-based approach, creating an atmosphere where they can truly learn? Anything that you had to speak into and help change within the church?
So to be completely transparent, we're just in the infancy stages of this process. So one of the first things within an organization or any type of ministry that involves children is matters of safety. And my husband, Matt, he's especially oriented to think like that. And so really increasing safety measures. For instance, there's a software called Planning Center, and our hope is to launch by Easter, like a full-scale, you know, check-in system that will have labels printed with children's names and identifiers like allergies or, you know, designation for non-custodial parents, you know, that wouldn't be able to access picking up a child, you know, things like that. We've already, you know, kind of hit that as priority number one.
Yeah, that's good because, you know, we want to share the good news of Jesus, but we have to do it in an environment where they're safe and their parents feel comfortable, especially if they're visiting our church for the very first time, right? So that's
right,
encouraging
absolutely.
To hear that. What other practical tips would you give to a pastor or a children's ministry leader that's just getting started, or maybe they're relaunching a ministry? What would you want to share with them?
So one of the first things is to look at the current structure. Is the person that's leading that, do they still feel called to this ministry? All too often in church settings, there's been, you know, a generous soul who's stepped in and is filling, you know, a gap, but may not necessarily feel called to this role or is experiencing burnout. You know, I like to know those types of things because that really does, it affects the way we minister to children. The going back to my example of my short stint as a worship leader and the importance of assimilation ministry and getting people connected to, you know, what makes their heart come alive. And if that's not children's ministry, that this is a safe space, you know, space to say that. And like, is it a training issue? Can we get you, you know, more support? What is it, you know, that the thing beneath the thing? I like to start there before anything else.
That's a good word, because it's hard to have a ministry if you don't have somebody that's actually shaped to lead that ministry. Mm-hmm. So if a person was making a checklist of items to really consider in children's ministry, you just talked about the human element of that. What
yes.
comes next in your mind beyond that?
You know, it's so tempting to talk about, you know, we could get into like the practical, the, you know, curriculum. And we talked a little bit about safety and, you know, volunteer recruitment. But I feel like ahead of that is vision. And the reason that I say that is people are compelled by vision. And a children's ministry that has become a maintenance ministry, it's hard to work within that context because, for instance, when I became over the children's ministry at the former church where I was on staff, I looked around and I saw a lot of gifted, qualified teachers who love children, but yet had never expressed an interest to serve in children's ministry, and I wanted to know why that was. And so I sat down and with someone and just asked her. I was like, just go through this program with fresh eyes. Like, I want to hear all the things. And one of the things she told me is, if a ministry appears to be an afterthought, or if it's disorganized, she's like, it unintentionally conveys a lack of value. Like, if the church doesn't place that level of consideration for children's ministry, then why should I?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good word. To be organized, to be prepared, to really think of these children and their parents coming in advance. I mean, that just shows a very meaningful concern. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, because you talked about a compelling vision for children's ministry.
Okay.
So name it. What would be a compelling vision for our children's ministry?
Integration, full integration of children into the life of the church. That is a big vision. And it's one that it's still something that I'm always ever striving to see to it that, you know, when we talk about everyone having a seat at the table, I don't know if your family was anything like mine, Anthony, but the children, their place at the table was, you know, that table, the children's table over there. So, you know, providing a space for integration that the children are seated at the same table as we are. Of God's grace and goodness.
Yeah, I remember those days of sitting in that little table, little card table, while the parents were at the big hardwood table. So let's talk about that. What is integration? You said full integration, which I'm in agreement. But some of us are probably wondering, how do we get there, and what does that look like? So could you unpack that for us? What does it look like for you?
For me, that looks like children are coming to our gatherings, our weekly gatherings, and provided with opportunities, you know, to belong to the church, and just a practical thing off the top of my head is in our restructuring at GC Surrey Hills, we've provided a space, like a physical space for the children during worship, that's like, you know, front row center kind of, well, like off center, but, you know, where the children aren't just, you know, pushed off to the side, but they are there and they are being included and participating in worship, in such a way that, you know, it's a tangible expression of, you know, integrated, intergenerational ministry.
And how's that worked out?
You know, ministry, especially children's ministry, is messy. But that's okay. So we're going to have these teachable moments where, like, okay, we shouldn't probably, like, you know, do a mosh pit when we're worshiping. Not that that's happened, but you know, there is an element of you know, what will we, how will we respond to the needs of our children? Because just the you know, seen but not heard approach, it that's not a current model of ministry, and praise God for that, I'd like to add.
Yeah, praise God. I'm with you. And I, you sure a mosh pit wouldn't be appropriate? I don't know. I'm still wrestling with that. But I love the idea of communicating to your children in practical ways that they truly matter to the life of the church. And there's a movement afoot in Grace Communion International that we would be engaging our neighbors and our neighborhood more intentionally. And by doing that, of course, there's going to be the opportunity to invite new people to participate in the life of the church and to show up for a worship celebration for the very first time. Can you walk us through what your church does or what it desires to do to welcome a family with children the very first time they come to church?
Sure. So we desire to... from the moment, I mean, from parking lot on, for there to be an encounter, the way that, you know, we engage with and respond to the needs of families so that they really do encounter the presence of, you know, the goodness of God in the way that we greet them. And, you know, if they have... you know, small children, they have diaper bags and things, and we're there to help, you know, them with, hey, can I help you carry that for you? And, you know, show them to their child's class. And for me, I always felt like it was especially important to get down on the child's level, like literally on my knees and look a child in the eyes and just really gush over how excited I was that they were there, and not in a disingenuous way, but because I genuinely was, like, of all the places they could be in that moment in space that they would be sharing their space with us. I mean, to me, there's no other greater honor as a children's minister. And the continuation of that from the way that their teachers respond to them in loving ways and to create relationships with the children whose families come. There's so much more that I could say. It's just like my mind's going a million different directions, but just, that's just to name a few.
Yeah, we'd love to pull those ideas out. And I, you know, I'm thinking about this this encounter that you're having with the child, and communicating with your body language and your words that you see them. And
right,
we have a God, even named in the Old Testament, the God who sees. And yes. I think that's a valuable thing to share with a child. So I'm going to create a scenario for you. You have four children. Let's just say you were coming to a church for the first time. You've talked about a safe space. You've talked about being genuine with the child, making them feel welcome. What other practical things would you want to see as a first-time guest to know that your children are being valued?
Safety. Safety would be the first thing that I would be looking for. One of my kind of mottos and things that I'm shooting for is, you know, safety really is foundational to trust. If I can't be safe with you, then I can't trust you. And so, especially as a parent, I want to know that during my children's time in the children's ministry, that they will be cared for in safe ways, that we'll forfeit our opportunity to share the gospel with families if we haven't provided and established a safe environment to do that in. So that would be one of the first things I would just, you know, in my mental checklist. Another thing would be engaging, really just, I would want them to have a relational encounter. I know, for instance, back at my home church, there was a young mother who visited, and her daughter, and it was their first time to attend one of our services. Her daughter, I guess she had a stomach bug or whatnot, and so she started to get sick. And just the attention to her child's needs and the way that, you know, our staff was there to step in and, you know, not embarrass her or, you know, just treated with such dignity that it formed a relationship. And even Matt, as far as he was, you know, scanning the parking lot and looking to see, you know, her and her daughter and would, you know, say their name, them by name. It did something for them. And so as a parent, I have my own stories like that, where my child was seen and not just tolerated, but celebrated. Like, we're so glad you're here. And that speaks volumes to me, both as a parent and as a minister to children.
That's really insightful, that safety leads to trust, and it's a privilege to earn trust, and it's hard to get it back. You know, we say this to our kids sometimes, you break trust, it takes a while to earn that back, and we want to make the most of the opportunities we have in our churches. So I want you, as we wrap up our time together, do you have any practical resources, whether it's curriculum, you know, crafts, games, just anything that you would want to recommend to a church children's minister who's just getting started or rethinking their children's ministry?
Two of my absolute favorite, they're like my go-to books for children's ministry. One of them is titled Children's Ministry in the Way of Jesus. There's a lot of not just practical information, but formational, because spiritual formation is something that I place a high importance on in regards to children's ministry. The other is Children Matter, Celebrating Their Place in the Church, Family, and Community. And as far as curriculum goes, I've really been impressed with WURL. It's RCL lectionary-based curriculum. And I really love, because the, you know, just the wannabe graphics girl in me, it's already designed like a design, you know, handout that is well designed, well thought out lessons. And honestly, the other thing would be going back to what I said about having somebody come in, you know, with fresh eyes, maybe someone outside the ministry, and just going through and just, you know, looking at the ways that, you know, you do ministry, and helping provide, you know, that second set of eyes. And because we can have ministerial blind spots. I mean, I know that I have them, but I want to know what those things are so that we can be better.
Man, this is great stuff, Nicole. I had a feeling if we talked for a couple hours, the ideas would just continue to pop. And so maybe we need to have you back on another episode if you're willing. And by the way, for our listening audience, if you heard those resources and you're driving in your car and you're like, I didn't catch that, we'll make sure to put it up in our show notes as well. So as we wrap up our time, I want to have a little fun, Nicole, if you're willing. I just want you to, well, first of all, are you willing before I tell you what you're going to do?
Depends on what the question is.
No. All right. We're going to give this a shot. So
I'm game.
All right. So I want you to say the first thing that pops into your mind or the first phrase when I ask you these questions. Here we go. Favorite color?
Purple.
Purple. All right. Favorite snack food?
Chex Mix.
All right. Favorite word?
Intentionality.
Ooh, can you spell it backwards? Just kidding. All right, next question. The bucket list country you want to visit?
Italy.
Oh, that's a good choice. What are you afraid of?
Sharks.
So you don't watch Shark Week on TV?
Yeah. No beach destinations for me.
Good to know. What is your all-time favorite movie?
Princess Bride.
Ah, inconceivable. One word to describe Jesus.
Life-giving.
With the hyphen. I like it. And finally, if you had one, a nickname you had as a kid.
Nikki.
But we know you as Nicole, and you're awesome. Thank you so much, Nicole, for joining us on GC Podcast and giving us so many practical tools to think about. You've got me processing for my own church and our children's ministry, so thank you. And as we like to do here on GC Podcast, I'd like to invite you to say a word of prayer over our churches and our children's ministries. I think it would be a blessing.
Okay. Father, Son, Spirit, we are just so grateful for your presence dwelling among us, for being active in our churches. And we just ask you to remind us that there's no such thing as too small, that you left the 99 for the one, that even if we only had one child in our children's ministry, that one child would be so loved up on and so blessed by God's people rallying around that little one. Lord, that you are the God who not only goes wide, but you also go deep. So thank you, Lord, for the amazing opportunity that you've given us to go deep and journey with children, to be guides in their faith journey. Lord, we just ask that you would inspire us with creativity, to think outside the box and in the context and the way that we minister to our children, that each church would be a different expression of you with its own unique flavor, that there would be no such thing as one size fits all. We love you, and we know it's because you first loved us that we even get to embark on this amazing journey with you. And thank you for each one of our churches around the globe. We love you, and thank you for championing for us and for our children's ministries. In Jesus' name, we always pray, amen.
Joe, that Nicole Payne has a lot of good insights, and I'm just a little bit jealous that her and her husband, Matt, are in your church. You lucky dog. But as you listened to that interview, what stood out to you?
Bro, like, I can't tell you enough how lucky I am to have some people that are passionate about children. They have a heart for children's ministry, and then their experience in children's ministry of working at a mega church, working at a smaller church. It's yes, you're exactly right. I am a lucky dog, big time. It was really hard to pull one thing out of that interview. So I'm just going to throw a couple things out there. I can't stick with one. One of the big things was when Nicole shared how the biggest impact on her life when she was younger was when her grandmother, who was also the children's minister, was present and invited her in to the ministry of asking her questions, what her thoughts were, and actually became a life of the church. Too often it's easy to think about our kids as the future, or better seen, not heard. And that's not a healthy approach. Our children, they are the life of the church right now. So how can we be present with our children in our church?
That's a really good word, because they are the here and now of the church. So my friends, we so appreciate you listening to us today. Sometimes I'm kind of shocked that you spend the time, but we're grateful that you do. And if you like what you heard, and you better, give us a rating wherever you listen to the podcast. It really does help get the word out and for others to join in on the conversation. So until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.